Everyone, I am back again. This is Valerie Cartonio with the Prison Pod. I'd like to thank you for taking the time and letting us join you today. I want to remind you this show is for you and we want to hear from you. So get that piece of paper and something to write with. I'm going to give you our address. It is the Prison Pod, Post Office Box 294, Orono, Maine, 04473. I'd like to thank everyone who's been writing, and in about a month or so, I will be doing another letters show and catching up with all of you I wasn't able to write back. So today we have a great guest joining us. Jessica Lynn is joining us, and she is with Maine Prison Consultants. This is a great agency, and the thing I fell right in love with was the mission statement, and that is to empower justice-involved individuals with knowledge and goals at each stage of transition.
Yes.
So I'd like to welcome Jessica. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm doing very well, and I want to say hi to everybody who is within the walls of this Maine's prisons, including the Center, Women's Center. So shout out to all the women there. We think of all of you every day.
That's great. I really appreciate you taking the time today to come and talk with us, because you've really got a great program going. I've been on your website, and yes. I want to start right off with asking, what is it about processing and preparing to transition to prison?
Well, I think it's important that you understand what you're about to embark on and be prepared for that, for not only you, but for your family. There's transitioning starts at each stage. The second you're arrested, you're transitioning. The second you accept your plea agreement, or go to trial, you're transitioning. The second you go into prison, you're in transitioning, and the various stages within prison. And each of them have emotional and physical and financial goals and barriers. And the sooner you address them, the less that they will pile up, so that when you go at your release date and re-enter, they're not overwhelming or overstimulating you, because some of them could have been prevented or addressed versus at that release date. So some people might lose their housing, and we could help them prevent from losing housing, so when they re-enter, they have that housing and they're not struggling with that. Some of it could be that emotions that are overstimulating and crippling to the point where you can't even identify them because they're consuming you and your family. We can start working with therapists and address that and connect that with you, so that you have somebody to process, so you're not feeling so isolated and alone. And then to sit there and say, what are your goals and how to utilize the prison system in your best interest, so that you're not walking into prison and needing a month or 6 months or a year to figure out the system and your case plan and how to sign up for classes, so that you're not wasting any of your time. The goal in the matter is that our biggest goal at Maine Prison Consultant is to make sure you don't have any distractions sitting at the table of your life, and that you are staying very focused and purpose driven.
So when do people call you? Is it like when they first get arrested? Are they waiting to go to court? Are they already in jail waiting?
Well, we are open up at bringing on anybody who is from the day they're arrested to even while they're at their release. We opened it up because it's a transition services, and so we can jump on board at any part in time of your transition. But we also work with lawyers, we work with therapists, and family members and the individuals, and you bring us on board the day you are arrested, and to help you walk through what the heck is happening to me. Because sometimes you might go to a therapist and you might just sit there and go, I don't even know what I'm about to embark on. How do I process that? And that's where we come in, and we help in a wraparound setting, help you identify what you need to process with that therapist around those emotions and feelings. When it comes to a lawyer, we can help you understand how those policies are really going to affect your plea agreement, because sometimes our lawyers are wonderful at knowing the law, but they might not truly understand how those laws affect DOC and those policies. So when people come in, they're not well prepared for that because they don't understand how good time is affected, the home confinement, furloughs, the reentry center, and all of that does have an impact on the length of your stay. And so then we specialize in helping lawyers and that individual understand how policies are going to affect that plea agreement. We also help families so that they can set up those visits and they're transitioning with that, so that there's no arguments, there's no disappointment, there's no not getting to the visits on time, not being appropriately dressed for the visits, so that they're not turned away, which is a very common thing, especially like say the summer. They don't do open shoes, so if people show up in sandals, they're not going to be allowed to go into visits. So we take those into considerations and we help people be prepared. Then we look at the individual and we say, you're going to make it. You're going to do it. You're going to survive this. And then we say, what are your goals? And what are the barriers that you're facing? And this is the best. These are some ideas to face it right atop. And can we avoid some of those barriers that you will face upon reentry so you don't have to face those? It's important to just know that you're not alone.
I love this approach because this is focused on success.
Yes.
And moving ahead, not
yes.
punishment, more punishment. Like, no. Oh, well, this is what you get, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's much better if you have an understanding of what's going to happen. And I would think that it would also reduce some of the immediate PTSD effects of going
yes.
into prison.
Yes, we are aware that there's always going to be that anxiety. There's always going to be post-traumatic stress disorder. There's always going to be some shame and guilt, frustration. It's not about taking it away. It's about lessening it so that there's not so much of an impact, so that at each stage of transition, it can be manageable. And it's also taking, instead of a reactive approach and waiting for something to happen, it's taking a proactive approach and trying to lessen or prevent anything that has a negative impact, so it can be consistently managed and the recovery process runs smoother.
I would think this would benefit society greatly when people come home.
It would, and I think it's so that society, I think that's a tough one because, yeah, Valerie, we've talked. I think that this is going to help individuals and their families. But with society, I think at each stage, that's a different battle of the stigma that is holding on with society and around people who have been incarcerated.
The piece about families, I really like the idea that you're working with them too, because a lot of success coming home is
mm-hmm.
keeping that family unit together.
Yes.
And keeping the relationships with family and friends. And
yes.
It's hard to do that if you don't understand how to navigate the system.
Absolutely, because when you have a spouse or you have children or you have just other family members, they don't understand what you went through. And one of the surviving mechanisms of prison for everybody is living in a fantasy land of hope. And it's so, and that is wonderful to get you through that moment in time. But if it's not sprinkled with reality and you're not continuously grounded, it can set people up for disappointment. And sometimes that's where a lot of families break apart. And you see people who are always together through prison, and then when they come home, the disappointment and the failure causes such additional drama and trauma that it breaks them because they've just held on and there's nothing left of them to go forward. And so I think if we can help families and people who are going incarcerated on that they're both struggling in different ways and neither one is worse or better or worse. It's different, and that how can we help them stay connected, and how can we help them stay supported? And instead of this breaking them away, it actually can bond them and connect them, and make them stronger in that format. And it's also teaching people, one of the things that people struggle with when getting out is that they feel like they've been forgotten, and everything reminds them of the time that they spent away because they're so busy catching up. If you have children and you went away for a couple of years and you come home, you've got to catch up on their friends. You've got to catch up on school. You've got to catch up on all of that. What Maine Prison Consultants gives people is ideas to think outside the box, and that just because you're incarcerated doesn't mean you can't attend IEPs, 504s, or parent-teacher conferences. Doesn't mean that you can't be a part of that child's school and write letters to the teachers and get that report cards, have those conversations with your kids about what is going on in school. A lot of people believe that once they go incarcerated, they don't have access to that, and that's not true. And bringing in school systems to help those families stay united and help with that transition at each stage for not only that parent and that child, and how that can benefit them in the academic setting because now their parents are still involved.
I just had this conversation that we don't address all the children out there that have incarcerated parents. And in any given school, there's got to be at least a handful, if not multitudes of them.
Yes.
But there aren't programs for children. It's like, shh, don't let anybody know, you know.
Yes.
And what a hard thing for a child to have on them, you know.
Well, yeah.
So I think that this family piece, does it also include how to navigate other kids' parents? And
yeah, we do have consultants who are children. They're not children now, they're adults, but they did have a parent who was in the prison system. And so I would assign them to that family network and work with that family from that child perspective, and help the family see what they can prevent and what they can address, because sometimes children who are going through it don't know how to articulate it or don't even know what they're experiencing. You know, that's one of the things, is sometimes we don't even know what we're experiencing when we're experiencing it. It's not till after we process it that we can go back and say, if I only knew, I just wasn't aware. So this agency has taken professionals and people with lived experience from different avenues, lived experience in the prison system or lived experience as family members and children of people. And we've combined them together to say, we've walked that journey already. We walked it for you. So now we want to be your guidesmen, and we're going to give you some helpful hints and things to look at that you might not have realized.
It sounds like you've really built a remarkable team, and you have people that can kind of cover every little area to make the whole process not so daunting.
Yes, I've been very blessed that I have an interesting background. So I've worked, you know, as a crisis worker, I've worked as a mental health case manager, and I've worked at multiple agencies, and I've pulled in career advisors. I've pulled in people who have had various family members, people who have lived experience, because it's been my experience that it's not one side of the table or the other. It's both sides coming together and believing and respecting each other, and that we're all equal. And that comes together into one agency that can wrap around that family, that individual, or that team of lawyers or therapists and bring them forward in that process. So it takes a community, and I tried to build a community in this agency.
For those that are in the professional field, as far as lawyers, doctors, psychologists, how do they go about getting a hold of you and your agency to get information to help their clients? clients?
Yep. I have reached out to a lot of lawyers and some therapists. I do have a, you know, Maine Prison Consultants does have a Facebook. You can message through there, but we also have a website on www.maineprisonconsultants.com. You can ask access us through those emails, or you can call me directly. I am the CEO and the founder of this company, and my number is 207-303-4453. You can text or call that number. And so I open up that to anybody, and even people who just want to call and figure about this agency a little bit more and talk about how we can collaborate, because even though we are a consulting agency and we are there for people who are incarcerated, people who are at reentry, people who are before they're even incarcerated, and we're there for their family members, we're also there for schools, we're there for therapists, we're there for lawyers, we're there to make even those agencies stronger and better, because the more we pull together our resources, the more we can wrap around that family and make each stage of those transitions better for them, because it's all of us coming together in our resources and our beliefs and our values and our experience, and realizing that none of us is right or wrong. We're all equal in this, that we can make that person more successful, and we can give prison a purpose, because it is that individual's responsibility to rehabilitate them. And DOC is a tool for them to do that, but sometimes people don't understand how to use their tools. And so Maine Prison Consultants helps them understand the tools that are in their backpack so that they know how to use those. Because if we have the tools but we don't know how to use it, those tools are just sitting there and waiting. And so that's what we're here for, is to say, okay, this is your tool, this is your tool, this is your tool, and this is how you can use those tools. And a lot of people entering prison does not understand how to use the prison as their tools.
Okay, now I'm going to have a total different question. I hope I'm not going to throw you. My brain's going all over the place. How do you handle the situation with the opioid crisis here in Maine right now, with so many people coming home that went in mainly due to opioids? Do you have some type of, do you suggest like going to NA? Are you for medication assisted therapy? Do you give any advice in that area?
I think that, like I said, every philosophy is correct. I think we have such a great debate in our society of what one is better and which approach. And I think they're all right and they are all wrong. I think it is up to the individual person. And that is the whole point of prison, is to sit down and figure out who you are and what approach works best for you. And that's why we use the prison system to, and your time in the prison system is to explore and to take those rehabilitational classes, including working out, playing cards, watching TV. Those are social skills that people don't know how to do sometimes without drugs, and it provokes those anxieties. So every aspect of prison, every second of every day, is a rehabilitational setting that you can use to find out what works for you. I personally would love people to look at their cycles and know what their high, low risk, medium risk, and high risk situations are, what their triggers are, what their thinking errors are, what's a high risk place in a person, and then build their relapse prevention plan off in that, so that they can know what is the best approach for them, and then they can articulate that to their support team and realistically realize how that support team is willing to help them and what levels. So if it's a medication, or if it's AANA, if it's a spirituality journey, if it's meditation, if it's counseling, individual, whatever it is that works for them, that goes on that organized format of the relapse prevention plan that they articulate and share with their support system, and their support system then says, I'm willing to help you on this aspect, so that they don't continuously have expectations and assumptions on themselves and their support team, so that there is no disappointment and failing.
I love the individualized approach because we as human beings are not a one size fits
No, we are
all
not.
in any
No, we are
way.
not. Yep, so that's why I think when I see so many great debates, everybody, and I think we do this about everything, we always feel like our belief is the best and is the right. And the truth of the matter is, we're all wrong and we're all right. And what we need to do is stop debating which is the best and come to the table and say, this is maybe it's a sprinkle of everything.
Exactly. And with us sharing, like on platforms such as this, we open up different avenues to take.
Yes.
Because a lot of people will go to, say, AA and say, it's not for me.
Yep.
But they found that going to church every Sunday and prayer meeting on Wednesday does
Absolutely.
whatever works.
Whatever works. And so when a lot of people come to me and they say, what does Maine Prison Consultants do for me? It's like, it's not black and white. I won't allow black and white. We are gray. We sit down with that individual person, and then even that individual person in those support teams, and we talk to them, and we gave that consult free so that we could sit down and talk to them to make sure it's a good fit. But we look at them as an individual. And so what we do for one person, we're not going to do for another because it doesn't fit for that other person. And so it's a very individualized because crimes are individualized, their length of stay is individualized, where they're going to do their time is individualized, what they're leaving, what they're coming home to, their goals, everything is individualized. So you have to take into looking at that person and their transition as individual and unique and special, and none of it's right or wrong, but none of it can be compared and contrasted with other people.
Okay, so if I'm sitting at the Women's Center at Maine Correctional Center listening to this right now and I say, oh, I need to get in touch with her, how do they do it from inside?
How do they do? Well, they have an amazing director of women's program in Amanda Wolford, who I have a lot of admiration for. They would go to her, they would go to their case manager, and they would say, can you help me? Case managers have websites. They're allowed to have emails. They do Zoom invites. So I would say that they would go to the www.maineprisonconsultants.com website with their case manager, and they would send an email along with their case manager. And I'm always willing to come into the Maine prison at any point in time and do a class or just to connect with people if that is needed, and to set up, depending on the situation, other consultants if they are more appropriate than myself.
And how about, like, if someone's at Maine State Prison, would they go through that same process?
Absolutely. And we would truck ourselves right up there. Or the great thing that we talked about, how COVID, we can do amazing things and support right through Zoom meetings and phone calls and emails as well. So, yes, we can wrap right around the Department of Corrections and help unify with them if that is a choice that is wanted. We are very flexible and very open to adjusting to that individual, family or person or agency or lawyers, whatever we can do to help out, we're here. Anybody can reach out to us.
Okay, and I have one other question, because people are gonna, I can hear the emails and letters coming now. How do people go about paying for this? Is it extremely expensive, like going to a lawyer, or how, like a lot of times somebody who's sitting in jail right now, they don't have a lot of resources, what would they do?
What we do is we do sliding scale fees, and part of that free consultation is we would sit down with that individual. We are also working at for families and individuals who can't afford. We are looking at like scholarships and to cover their services. We are working with outside agencies that will do that for us. So we would discuss that with them at that consult. We would look at them to see how we can still support them because money, though we want people to invest in themselves, and and everything along that line. We do understand that, especially individuals who are incarcerated, money is tight, but that doesn't mean that they shouldn't get services or support. So we're willing to have that conversation at the first free consult. Absolutely.
Okay, great. So, and that is one thing I did want to mention is you do have a free consultation mm-hmm. up front, and everyone gets on board as to what the services are that are available yep. and what the cost of that would be.
Yeah, absolutely. And then awesome. From that, we might be open and they might look at us and say, it's just not worth it. We want to respect that. But at the same time, everybody will walk away from that free consultation a little bit wiser too.
Have you had some people that you have said, I don't really think they're serious, you know, as far as turning anyone away?
Nope, never.
Awesome.
What I have is that a lot of people, especially people who have been arrested and haven't gone into prison yet, we go a little bit slower for that individuals because unlike individuals who are incarcerated or at that reentry section, the individuals who have been arrested and not entered into prison, they are floating. And what I call it is floating. They are so overwhelmed with their emotions that they're almost emotionally detached from their body. So we take a little bit longer with them because the information we give is just so overwhelming and not real to them yet. So those sessions that we work with those individuals and sometimes family members take a little bit longer because we go a little bit slower to respect that they need help grounding because they're just detached right now. And anybody who has gone through that stage can understand that nothing in your life at that moment in time is real. And you feel like you're in the twilight zone and you feel like you're floating. And though you're listening, you're not comprehending. And though you're comprehending, it's not real. And so that stage of transitioning is going to be completely different. And that's why we are transition agency versus a reentry agency. And that's why we say that's important, because that if you get stuck in that section, you get behind.
You know, and this is one important reminder. A lot of people feel alone when they're inside.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That there's nobody in the world that cares, but guess what?
We've
got two people right here that
yeah.
we're taking our time because we care about you and we want you to be successful. And we want you to live happy lives, and that's why we're here.
And more important is that, one, we believe in each and every one of them, and two, we didn't forget them.
That's a great way for us to wind things up. I'd like to thank you so much, Jessica, for joining us.
Thank you so much, Val.
The information you have given today is remarkable, and with us both being in the state of Maine, I really
yes.
love the idea that this is Maine focused, because
yes.
a lot of my work is across the country. And all of you that are here in Maine, remember that we're both out here pulling for you. You can contact either one of us.
Absolutely.
I will make sure all the information is on the website and that on the podcast, so you can get in touch with both of us. And again, it's Maine Prison Consultants. If you're inside, remember that, Maine Prison Consultants. Go to your case managers and talk to them, because these people are here to help you and give you some direction of where the heck to go.
Absolutely.
I'll see you all back in a couple of weeks. Again, I want to hear from you. Send those letters to Post Office Box 294, Orono, Maine, 04473. Thank you for joining us.